Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles, chapter number 1. Nice. Today we'll be looking at what the Bible says about wisdom. And that's a pretty tall order. The word wisdom, it's mentioned 222 times in the scriptures. And the word wise is mentioned 237 times. So settle in. We'll be here a while. No, that's a lot of material. So we're just going to narrow that down. We're going to define wisdom from the Word of God and then show you from the Word of God how to obtain wisdom, if we can do that. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, starting in verse number 7. In that night did God appear unto Solomon. All right, so David has died. Solomon, one of his many sons, has been selected to follow him as the king of Israel. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Okay, now there's a, right there, those words, that's a real, real place for examination. My heart, your heart, if God, think of this. If God came to you today and you knew it was God and not your imagination, you knew it was God and God said, all right, one thing and I'll give it to you. What do you want? What do you want? Well, it would tell an awful lot about you to honestly answer that question, don't you think? It would tell a lot about me to give an honest answer to that question. What would be the one thing that you would ask from God? Next verse, verse number 8. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that you mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee. Neither shall there be any after thee, or neither shall there any after thee have the like. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, show us today that you not only want us to have the wisdom that you want us to have, the right kind of wisdom, not worldly wisdom, but show us, Lord, how to get it, what we must do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I like what God said here. He said, because this was in thine heart. That means Solomon didn't even have to think about it. He didn't have to ask the Lord, could you give me 30 minutes and come back, please? He already had it in his heart. In his heart, he considered the life that I am called upon to live, the duties that I am called upon to carry out, the decisions that I am going to have to make, they are beyond my natural ability. He knew that. So he said, I need wisdom from God. He had already determined that in his heart before God ever came and said, what would you like to have from me? And so today, maybe that question that I posed a minute ago is not all that far-fetched. You know, if God was to come to you today and he said, what would you like to have? Maybe we'll see this afternoon. God is standing, present, ready, willing, to grant us what he granted Solomon. If only he would find in our hearts what he found in Solomon's heart. Solomon, he didn't just ask for knowledge, because knowledge, it's of some value, but it's not of great value without wisdom, that is. We all know people who, that have shown that they have sufficient knowledge to earn a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, a doctor's degree. And, I mean, really, you're no dummy if you've earned a doctorate, right? And yet people with doctor's degrees think that there's more than two genders. So my point being, you can have knowledge, a lot of knowledge, and still be clueless. I guarantee you, if an ambulance pulls up at the emergency room at the hospital, the doctor there doesn't say, which of the 26 or the 53 genders am I dealing with here? No, the doctor says male or female, right? And the reason the doctor says male or female is because it's because medically there's some differences there physically, all right? And that's as far as they go, as far as they need to go. That's what matters. There are some people, they're smart enough to build multinational corporations worth billions and billions of dollars, but they can't figure out how to stay married or how to keep their kids off of dope. So it's a blessing to be born with a God-given intelligence, but on top of that, it is necessary to obtain and to possess a God-given wisdom so that we know how to make proper judgments and proper decisions in life with the intelligence that God has given us. Take a look in Job chapter 11. The book of Job, chapter 11, and we'll see that wisdom is something beyond knowledge. Oh, did I say seven? Job, chapter 11. Job 11, verse number 5. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. All right, so here's a man, he's intelligent enough to hold a job, intelligent enough to build a house, intelligent enough to fill his bank account with money, intelligent enough to maybe get on a city council and be the governor of a state. And when you say, sir, can I give you the gospel? What's the gospel? Christ died for our sins. I'm not a sinner. How can you be smart enough to be successful in every aspect of life and not have enough understanding to recognize you are a sinner before a holy God? You see, and this man in Job chapter 11, now he is wrong about Job. These are words he's saying about Job, but he is right about men in general. See, he says, you know a lot of things, but there's a secret that's been hidden from you, and that is the secret of wisdom. Because if you possessed wisdom, you would know that God is against iniquity. Yeah. Now, you've got a lot of smart people in this world, and they can't see that the things they do are wrong. They can't see the right way out of the messes that they make for themselves in life. And so what we read about in Job 11 here is that there is no secret that God will not reveal. And there are things that unless God reveals them, they're going to remain a secret. Let me give you another example. I think it's fascinating when you study geology and you consider all the different types of rocks and the different types of formations of mountains and the different kinds of ore and veins and things in the earth. To me, it's interesting. I like going through the Rocky Mountains where you can see the upheavals and in the land and the canyons and the mountains. It's amazing to see. the colors and the shapes and the formations and all the different types of rocks. And there are men, and they're smart enough to know all the types of rocks and ore and mineral. And if you boil this down, you get this. If you break that down, you get that. And, we could take this sludge and slime it. And if we did it right, we could run automobiles with it and make plastics with it and stuff. I mean, those are very, very smart people there. And yet hidden from them is the basic truth. That it didn't result, those things that they spent their life studying didn't result from an explosion of nothing. Hidden from them is the basic truth that just like somebody had to build your car, had to build your house, had to cook your supper, somebody created the heavens and the earth. And it's not that that couldn't be known to them, but until somebody obtains wisdom, their knowledge leaves them with a great many mysteries in life. Consider NASA. I'm not much against as much against NASA as a lot of people are, a lot of Christians are, because, well, NASA provides a lot of jobs for a lot of people. And then provides a lot of secondary jobs and third jobs and down the line. I mean, with all those people going to that area for work on the rockets and everything, that means more restaurants, more waitresses are going to be needed, other kinds of jobs are going to be needed. So it has a purpose. It helps people. But wouldn't you think, after spending trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars to supposedly get to the moon, that you'd have a clue? Now, the president, he wants to spend billions and billions and billions more dollars to get to Mars. And when they get back from Mars, they still won't have a clue. Because if you've got knowledge enough to set your nest among the stars, Obadiah 1:4, but you don't believe God, you're going to lack the wisdom and the understanding to unlock the very, very most basic secrets of life. Who made it? Where did I come from? Where am I going? Is there life beyond the grave? Okay. I mean, we have young boys and girls who can answer those questions, don't we? And PhDs in psychology and physics and astro this and aerial that, they don't know. So knowledge is good, wisdom is better. All right, let's go to Exodus 28. And you might want to prepare Acts chapter 6. We'll be right there after that. Exodus 28 and Acts chapter number 6. Some people have the idea that there is a Christian life, and then there's life. And there's spiritual times, and then there's the rest of my time. You know, wisdom is not something that only ministers or preachers need, okay? And wisdom is not something that only, deacons and pillars and leaders in the church need. And everyone else, they don't need it. They can do without it. Look at this. This is, by the way, the first mention in your Bible of wisdom right here. Exodus 28, verse number 1. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And I don't say this condescendingly. I say this to lift up the working man, to lift up the toiling woman. The first reference in the Bible to wisdom is knowing how to sew clothing. The first reference to wisdom in the Bible is knowing how to do a simple day-to-day routine task in a very in a way that beautifies and glorifies God. How about that? I mean, you say, well, I'm just a laborer. I'm just a construction worker. I'm just a teacher. I'm just a seamstress, or, you know, just fill in the blank, you know. so you say, so I don't really need wisdom then. The first use of wisdom in the Bible is not for leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. It's for making clothes. That tells me God wants all of us to be wise, whatever it is that we're doing for a living in our day-to-day routine. Look in Acts chapter number 6 now. Acts chapter 6, verse number 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Okay, so think about this for a minute. What's going on here? What you have here is there's so many people getting saved, that they got this big crowd now. And there's a lot of people getting saved who are very, very, very poor, either before they got saved or as a result of getting saved. And the church is giving free meals to widows who've gotten saved. And some of them are griping because others got in line ahead of them 2 days in a row for that free food. Did you know, I've noticed the people who hate America the most are the people who are living off of America, living off of the government. You know, the people who want America completely changed generally are the people who live in free housing, have free medicine, and get free food and a free paycheck in the mail once a month or twice a month. I don't know how often they get it, but did you know that the people that pour their all into a church, I mean, the people who are really serving in the church, they're the ones who usually love it. And the people who just come to church and to get stuff, they're usually the ones you'll find complaining about church. Anyway, that's a little off track from what we're talking about. But here they're getting free food and they're griping because somebody else got it while it was piping hot. And by the time they got it, it wasn't quite as hot. By the time they got through the line, all the cornbread was gone, and they were forced to have to eat biscuits instead. You know, they wanted that cornbread. It's free. Now watch this, verse number 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, okay, now watch, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. All right, so now we're back on track. Here's what I want you to see. The church needs someone to manage the kitchen. The church needs someone to ladle the soup into the styrofoam bowls. The church needs someone to make sure the white plastic folding tables are set up in the correct distance and in the right order. And you know what the Bible said? Make sure whoever's doing it is full of wisdom. You say, well, you know, these men, they needed to give themselves to the word of God and prayer. Yeah, you say, those are the preachers, those are the apostles, those are the spiritual leaders of the church. And yeah, did you see what the Lord said? If you don't have wise people running lunch, it will tear the church up just as quick as bad deacons will tear a church up. Now, whether you're sewing clothes or serving lunch, you need wisdom. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes we denounce this system, like the Catholic Church. You know, the priesthood way up here and everybody else way down here, that kind of a system. And yet in our thinking, we give consent to that. In a sense, we do. You know, well, I don't need wisdom. I'm not going to be a missionary. I don't need wisdom. I'm never going to be a pastor. I don't need wisdom. I don't do anything to serve God, that kind of stuff, right? The Bible says you need wisdom for the most basic duties of life so that you don't make a mess out of it. I find that interesting. All right, so how do I get this wisdom that I need? That I need? 5 points, quick and easy. Job chapter 28. Job 28. And then we'll go to Colossians chapter 2. Job 28 and Colossians chapter 2. If I need wisdom, how do I get wisdom? Job 28, verse number 12. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. And he goes on, pearls, rubies, topaz, gold again. Verse number 20, whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eye of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. If you do a search online and you say, I want to purchase wisdom, nobody's got it for sale. It talks about here the exchange of it. So if you went to the New York Stock Exchange and said, I got millions and millions, I want to invest, I want to buy wisdom. Well, they'll sell you pretty much anything you want on Wall Street, but they cannot sell you wisdom. You say, well, I'll dive down in the ocean, I'll go up in an airplane in the sky, and the sky says, well, we don't have it. The ocean says, we don't have it. Where are you going to get this wisdom? Verse 23. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. Well, how about that? I don't know where to find wisdom. I looked everywhere in the earth, and God said, psst, hey, up here. I tried to buy wisdom, and it was always inferior. It was always second rate. And God said, I got plenty. I got plenty. How about this? Here you go. And verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. All right. Now, that in mind, look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. What a statement there. Did you notice? Statement on the Trinity there. Do you see the Father? Do you see Christ? Then who's God? That's the Holy Spirit. Trinity. Of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So do you know why the ocean says we don't have any wisdom? It's all in God. Do you know why the fowls of the air are and the flying things, they have no wisdom? It's all in God. Do you know why you can't buy wisdom at a bookstore or buy it in a library or buy wisdom at the market? God's got it all. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom. So if you want to be wise, if you want to have good understanding, if you want to make correct and proper judgments, you are going to have to go to God for that wisdom. Number two, Psalm 111. The book of Psalms, number 111. Psalm 111 and verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. And praise endureth forever. People don't like verses like this nowadays because it makes it sound like that God is some sort of dominant figure, and like I'm some sort of a submissive figure. Yeah, that's right. That's how it's supposed to be. And it sounds like God is powerful and I'm somehow weak and we're not eye to eye. It's like he's above and I'm beneath. And yeah, that's exactly how it works. All right, so here's what the Lord said. He says, I can impart wisdom unto you, but you must fear living contrary to what I'm going to tell you. You must be afraid that if you don't obey my commandments, you will make a costly mistake. And this is not being afraid of God, afraid of God as though he's my enemy, but being afraid to go against God because he is wise and I am not. he has understanding and I do not. I don't dare go against the commandments of God because I know it'll hurt me if I do. That's what this is about. Now this generation, not mine. I'm looking back now on a couple of generations. This generation, it's handicapped in a way that my generation was not. You see, I didn't have to understand the reason for rules all I had to know was that it would hurt me if I broke those rules. That was enough for me to know. My dad, he never reasoned with me. He never explained things to me. He never told me why. He just said, these are the rules. If you keep the rules, things will go well with you. And if you don't keep the rules, it's going to hurt you. And you know what that does? If you're raised that way, it will prepare you to live a Christian life once you get saved. Because God doesn't owe me an explanation, you see? Well, thou shalt not commit adultery. Why is that a bad thing? Just don't do it. Thou shalt not steal. Well, I don't see why if I steal, that's a problem. I mean, that guy's got more than I do anyway. I should be able to take some of that, right? Just trust me and obey my commandments. See, wisdom is not God imparting to you the same knowledge that he has as to why something is right and why it's wrong, or why you should do something and why you should not do something. Wisdom is imparting to you an understanding that it will be better for me to obey God, and it will be worse for me if I don't obey God. And the beginning place of wisdom is to say what Solomon said. Lord, if you leave me to make my own decisions, they're going to be wrong. If you leave me to make my own judgments, I'm going to mess things up. Show me what to do. Tell me what to do. And if you'll show me what to do and tell me what to do, Lord, I will do it. He'll honor that. Now, isn't that simple? Really, it's like, okay, so God comes to me tonight and I say, I want wisdom. And I wake up tomorrow morning and, whoo, I'm the most perfect person that ever lived when it comes to judgment and understanding. All right, we'll get back to this in a minute. But leave it right there and come to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. So God, he's got all wisdom. The starting place is to fear him. James chapter 1, verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That means he's not going to find fault with you for asking for wisdom. He wants you to. And it says, and it shall be given him. Well, praise the Lord. Now, let's come at this thing from another direction. This generation, you know, the more that you want equality, the more disappointed and unhappy you're going to get. Because no two people are equal. And God didn't make you equal. And God can't make you equal, and he's not going to make you equal. And I'm glad for that. I don't want a wife that's just like me. I want a wife that's strong where I'm weak. I want a wife that can do what I can't do so that we can be a help to one another. And each of us be better because we're not equal than we would be if we were. God gave everybody in the church different gifts, right? Why did he do that? So that we wouldn't all be limited to what one person was able to do, but so that we could, as a church, do what everybody contributing could do. Okay, so I'll say this carefully. God, he's not offering to impart to everyone knowledge, because some people are gifted by God with great knowledge, and other people, they've got limited knowledge. And all of us are gifted by God or graced by God with specific areas of knowledge. Because some people are gifted by God with great knowledge and some with limited knowledge. But all of us are gifted by God or graced by God in specific areas. And we will never obtain expert knowledge beyond those specific areas where we're the smartest, right? Some of you here, you're nurses. Well, I don't have a clue about nursing, so it's good that you do. Some of you are electricians. Maybe I could help you out a little bit in that area. Some of you are artists. I don't have that talent at all. So you understand. To go to God and say, God, let me know everything that there is to know. That's not what he's offering here. What he's saying to the college graduate and to the high school, or the elementary school dropout, he's saying, I can give you wisdom. Now, there's not a person who comes to me for wisdom that I could not make wise. God's not limited in who he can give wisdom to. Okay. And isn't that a blessing? Nobody's left out. Everybody's not cut out for academics. Everybody's not cut out for administration. Everybody's not cut out for fill in the blank. But God said, whether you're stitching clothes, Exodus 28, or serving meals, Acts chapter 6, or the king of a nation, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, you need wisdom, and I can give it to you. I can show you how to be the best and the most successful at whatever it is that you know how to do. Let's say that two guys know how to build houses. One provides for his family and his church and missionaries and lives happily ever after. The other one is bankrupt repeatedly. Knowledge isn't the issue. Wisdom is the issue in that case. Okay, two people learn the Bible. One man starts a church. Another man starts a church. One honors God and the other is a disaster. And it's not knowledge. It's wisdom. May the Lord help us to see he's not offering to make us smarter. He's offering to show us what to do, whether we're smart or not. Isn't that a blessing? We come to learn from the book of Ecclesiastes that Solomon is a brilliant man. But he admitted to God, I don't know what to do with it. God told Moses, don't pick somebody that can just sew clothing. Everybody, half of the camp that can sew clothing. Think about those people. They're not buying clothes at a mall. He said, I want you to pick somebody that knows how to do it the way that I want it done. And then, who can't serve food, right? But God said, I want somebody serving that food that knows how to get along with both sides of these quarreling, griping people. See, so it's not knowledge, it's wisdom. It's not just heady, it's heart. So with that in mind, Psalm number 90. Verse number 12. Psalm 90, verse 12. Bible says this, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verse number 42. Matthew 12:42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Now this is not getting a book at the library we're talking about here. This is not ordering a self-help series online. This isn't tuning in to an expert on the television. This woman, think about it, no airplanes, no automobile. This woman got into a chariot, maybe, or on a horse, maybe, and came through Ethiopia, through Egypt, across the great wilderness area. She traveled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of desert miles because she heard there was a man living in Jerusalem who was wise in governing his kingdom. And she thought, well, maybe I can get some wisdom from him if I go meet him. So do you know what she did? She applied herself to seek after wisdom. It cost her time. It cost her money. It cost her comfort. She had to humble herself and admit to Solomon, you know, I'm a queen, but you have wisdom, and I don't. I'm a queen. You know what to do, and I don't. And she didn't consider it a waste of money or a waste of time or a waste of effort to make that trip to get some wisdom. You know what Jesus said? That woman is going to condemn you in the day of judgment if you didn't get wisdom. Because all you had to do was ask me. You didn't have to go anywhere. You don't have to spend any money. You don't have to put yourself out or be uncomfortable. Just ask me. And you wouldn't do it. And when you stand before me in the day of judgment, you say, I just didn't know what to do. I'm going to say, Queen of Sheba, would you come over here for a minute? Tell them what you did when you didn't know what to do. She'll say, well, I took this trip. It took 8 days going and 10 days coming back, and the wheel broke off the chariot, and there were bandits and robbers and marauders. And when we crossed that desert, we almost ran out of water. And when we got to Jerusalem, we were a stranger and a foreigner, and they wouldn't serve us meals because we didn't eat like them. And I couldn't sit with their women. And, you know, what did you put yourself through that for, Queen? And she's going to say, I heard Solomon was wise, and I wanted to be wise. Okay, thank you. And she goes back over to where she was celebrating. And the Lord says, I told you to just ask in your living room. Just ask in your car. You're driving to work, and you're all stressed out because you don't know what decision to make, and you consulted a cigarette, and it didn't settle you down. And you turned on the radio, and that didn't give you any information. And you stopped to make a phone call in it and talk to somebody as dumb as you are. And all you had to do is ask. You know, there are some things in life that I'd like to have that I know I'll never have. There's some things that I'd like to attain I'll never attain. But if I'm not wise, it's because I neglected to seek wisdom. If you're not wise, it's not because it wasn't available to you. It's because you didn't go after it. How about that? Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. You say, well, I don't even know what wisdom is. We'll get to that. We'll finish up with that. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Okay, so now, look, I've got an ear, you've got an ear. Two ears. The Holy Spirit said, he that hath ears to hear, and that's what they're for, let him hear. If you will incline your ear to wisdom, right? So I ask you, while I'm asking myself, since we were together a week ago, how much of God's word have you listened to compared to how much that is not God's word have you listened to? How many things have gone in your ears that were, thus saith the Lord? And how many things have gone in your ears that were just men babbling? The Lord said, if you want wisdom, I will give it to you. But you've got to listen when I start dealing it out. Lord, give me wisdom. And then we go on our way, and the Lord says, where are you going? Well, I asked for wisdom. Well, but I'm about to give it to you. But you've got to listen. Incline thine ear. Verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her, okay, here we go, as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Do you want wisdom? Yeah. Do you want it as much as you want money? Do you want it as much as you want the things that money can buy? Do you want it enough to give 40 hours a week to getting it? Do you want it enough to put some overtime to get it? Look, the lottery takes in billions because people want a lot of money right now for just picking the right numbers. And when God says, I will give you wisdom, it's not put the coin in and pull the lever and hope to hit the wisdom jackpot. It's, are you willing to spend as much time listening to me as you are to making money? Let's go back in time to when I was a boy. Man, let me tell you something. Your life changed when you went from walking to being able to ride a bicycle. I'm telling you, that trip to school was a whole lot better once I got my bike than it was on foot. But man, oh man, you get there about 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, that's when you start looking. Car. If I ever get a car, I'm going to get a car like just like that one. Well, no, you're not. Your dad's not rich. Well, when what you want is a car and you work a summer job and you save that money because you want that car, and you get that after school job and you put that money aside because you want that car, and you go to get the car that you want, and then the man takes you over to the car, he shows you the car that you can afford. So it's not the car you want. Okay, do you know what I did? I got money, and with that money, I got a car. And with that car, I got a speeding ticket. And with that speeding ticket, I got a whipping and a grounding. And as soon as the grounding was over, I got back in that car, and I got a wreck. You know what I had? I had what money could buy. Do you know what I didn't have? Wisdom. And you know something? You just fast forward that through the next 50 years of your life, and you can make all the money in the world and buy everything that money can buy. And let me save you the time. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon bought everything that money could buy. And he said, when I wasn't exercising wisdom, it was just a disaster. Do you want wisdom? Do you want it as bad as you want money? Do you want it as bad as you want stuff? You can have it when God knows that you want it. And God will know when you want it, when you go after it like you would go after a raise. See, you can't fool God, by the way. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. How about that? You notice wisdom there is personified as a woman. Okay. All right, so where is this wisdom? How do you get it? God said, the words of my mouth, the words of my mouth. You pour 60, 70, 80 hours a week into building a business, and you got no time for this word. Your business is going to ruin your marriage. It will ruin your family. It will ruin your children. It will ruin your health. It'll ruin your liver. So you better find time for the Word of God. The words of God. Or else knowledge and skill and money is just going to be another set of problems that you're going to have. But wisdom, man, knowing how to make money and not be ruined by it, knowing how to have a family and it be a blessing, knowing how to have a place of standing in the town and in the society and using it for the honor and the glory of God, knowing how to be a successful businessman, a successful parent, to have a successful family, and still have time to serve God and be faithful to church. Where do you get that? From the Bible. From listening to God and doing what he says. It's the principal thing, the Bible says. Your to-do list should have get wisdom right at the top of every single page, every single day. And if you get wisdom from the Word of God, whatever you did yesterday that kept you from the Word of God, you shouldn't have done it. Something should have been cut out of that schedule if you didn't have time to hear God's words. Let's finish here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and then 2 Timothy chapter 3. Deuteronomy 4 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. When people are in the time in their life when they're serious about living for the Lord, they consult their pastor. And they consult the pastor about things like, what do you think about me taking this job? What do you think about me courting and marrying this girl? What do you think about me moving to this town? And it's easy to answer the people that are asking those questions because they're devoted to the Lord. You just say, will that job take you away from the Word of God? Will that person take you away from the Word of God? Will that move? See, and to the people that don't ask, the fact that that job you took you out of church, and we've seen it happen. We've seen jobs take people out of our church. That says it's the wrong job, whatever it pays. The fact that you are no longer in church so that you can spend time with your new boyfriend or your new girlfriend would tell any wise person that that's not the one you should be with. So it all boils down to, do I fear God enough and do I believe God's words enough to allow what is written in the scriptures to direct me as I make my decisions in life? That's really what it comes down to. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Okay, so notice twice he said those five verses. I taught you the word, but you've got to do what it says. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom. Does everybody see that? Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What was their wisdom? Doing what God said in his book. What enabled them to be wise? Doing what God said in his book. Do you know why people don't know what to do? Because they don't know what God said. You know why people don't know what's the right choice? Because they don't know what God said. And you cannot exercise wisdom if all you've got to go on is your brain. You got to have God's word to be wise. You got to have God's word to be understanding. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Before I read the verse, on a normal Sunday morning, hundreds of thousands of people went to church Sunday morning. And they can read, they can write, they can earn a good living, they can put money in the bank, and they go to church week after week after week and go home and have no idea how to be saved. Now, wouldn't you think that anybody going to church could go home and know how to be saved? But a man smart enough to get a PhD in theology thinks that you get saved by getting sprinkled when you're a baby. And a man with a doctorate in divinity thinks that you get saved by sacraments. And another man that's made trips all over the world to all the holy shrines and the holy places, he thinks you get saved by eating a wafer and drinking some blood. How can people smart enough to build multi-million dollar denominations of religion not be able to tell you how to get to heaven? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Brother Michael read this one yesterday out on the beach. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I don't know how to get to heaven. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe it's church membership. Maybe it's good works. Maybe it's sacraments. I don't know how to get to heaven. Okay, someone comes along and says, well, I do. I know how to get to heaven. Well, who are you? You're just some 11-year-old kid with some pieces of paper, some plastic sign out there because your mom made you stand out here, that's all. No, actually, I can tell you for sure how you can go to heaven when you die. I know of an absolute certainty how you can have eternal life. An 11-year-old kid can say that. The Bible says, and then scripture, 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 scripture. And an 11-year-old kid has enough wisdom to be saved. And a doctor in theology can't find heaven. What makes the difference? Knowing what God said in his word and doing what it says. Now, do you want to have wisdom? Stop reading junk. You want to have wisdom? Stop listening to vanity. Do you want to have wisdom? Stop devoting your time to listening to people who don't know any more than you know. Get in this Bible, listen to people preach the Bible and teach the Bible who believe the Bible. Amen. It'll make you a better seamstress or seamster. It'll make you a better meal server. It'll make you a better ruler of your castle. You want to have wisdom? Ask God for it. God will say, I'll give it to you, but I'm going to serve it up in doses, one verse at a time. One verse at a time. And if you'll go after my words as faithfully and consistently and eagerly as you go after money, I'll make you wise. And you'll know what to do. You'll know how to live. And you'll make good decisions, and you'll have a blessed life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you want us to have wisdom, you want us to have a good life, and you've put it in your words what we need to do to get that. Lord, I pray that everybody here does have a desire to live the way you would have them to live, to be able to make their decisions in life, knowing that they're the right ones because you've shown it to them in your word. Give us a love for your word, Lord, a hunger for your words every day. Let us not skip it, even one day, Lord, knowing how important it is. We just thank you, Lord, that you desire us to have wisdom, and you've made a way for us to get it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.